Aboriginal Canadian artist Norval Morisot, who died last December from complications of Parkinson's disease, was also known by his Anishinaabe name, which translates to Copper Thunderbird. He'd often been referred to as the Picasso of the North. Morisot created works depicting the legends of his people, the cultural and political tensions between Native Canadian and European traditions, his existential struggles, and his deep spirituality and mysticism. This school of artists that he created, one of the schools that he created, was called the Thunderbird School of Shamanistic Art. My guest today, Richie Sinclair, was Norval's protege at the Thunderbird School, one of Norval's proteges. He joins me in studios. Richie's name, Richie Stardreamer Sinclair, has a show on right now at the Scollard Street Gallery called Spirit, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're going to talk about Norval. Welcome to Take Five.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me on.
Let's maybe you could just describe who Norval Morisot was to you, and the side that you saw that perhaps the rest of the world didn't get to see.
Sure. Well, the side of the world that the world does get to see is Norval's known as the Grand Shaman of the Anishinaabe. And Anishinaabe really means literally the people. And people never say, well, what is a Grand Shaman? You know, you read about it, there's nothing to read. He was recognized by the Assembly of First Nations as the Grand Shaman. To me, what that means is that Norval actually embodied his people. How far that goes to being his people, I don't know. But what I do know is that he carried within him that injury of the native people as well as the majesty of the native people. So in a sense, to me, the grandness is in him embodying the whole thing. He's like the medicine man for a whole range of people.
How did you meet Norval?
I was in art school, George Brown, a fanatic group of seven artists. And I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version, but Norval came from Thunder Bay after he'd done paintings and had dreams about me and about creating a bridge between the native First Nations and between, quote, the Europeans. And so we came to Toronto. We started running ads in the newspapers, looking for his protege. And I was the last person interviewed. I guess you don't need to interview anymore once you find what you want. And the next day I was up north with after meeting him with 30 natives and living a whole unique lifestyle. And what Norval said to me is that spirit was the right of everybody, and that he wanted to teach Indians a few lessons, that they didn't really own the great spirit, that it was everybody's right, and he wanted to pass this information over to the Europeans. So I'm his example.
Now, what was that like? I mean, you went up there to study under him and work with him and paint with him. You're plucked out of, I mean, had you had any exposure to the native lifestyle, to the native culture, to Aboriginal art per se?
Well, fascinating thing is I'm from Thunder Bay too. And you'd think I would have known something. I've been trained in art since before I ever went to public school. And I'd never had a whisper of it across my world until the day I met Norval. And that very day, he took me to my professor, George Brown, and said, I'm hiring this man. And we went into my professor's office. I'd never been in there. Behind my professor's desk were two huge Morisots. So some things are just meant to be. I got my diploma that day. And
life is interesting.
Isn't it?
and that's been true of many people who've been touched by Norval's life. What was it like to paint with him? As a painter, you'd had this training, you had this sort of technical and classical training. When you got up there and you were painting with Norval, what was that like?
At first, it was overwhelming, absolutely overwhelming, stunningly overwhelming, because his paintings were filled not only with power and insight, but they're just imbued with this kind of energy that seemed to come from deep in the past and out of nowhere, like as if I found myself in a pyramid with all these Egyptian or Mayan, you know, artworks. You know, to be surrounded by that was an incredible experience. The second thing was that there was great joy in doing it. Instead of this serious, alone, hidden activity, it became more joyful the more apparently serious it was. you know. So great experience.
I have. We were talking a little bit before about. I watched Norval and a few different documentaries. I've watched him paint, and I've been around artists, and I've seen them struggle with the angst of every single move, every single placement of every single line or drop of paint or whatever the medium happens to be. What I took away from watching Norval paint was that there was none of that. That he almost seemed to channel. There was no brush necessarily that connected him to the paint or to the canvas. That he was the paint, he was the brush. Was that your experience as well?
Yeah, to the degree that really, I've painted with him at times where he started 40 paintings at the same time, where he'd spend 2 days, me sitting watching him do the sketches across the board of paintings and then just go from one to the next. So in a sense, his brain was not involved. It was really just a dance of color, you know? And at the end, then the discovery and interpretation of the work.
So it was really just more stream of consciousness, and then he would step back and take a look at what was on the canvas or what was in the sketch, like what was in the finished product.
Yeah, and what was natural, after years and years of doing something and developing it. Like, he was not doing repeat paintings. There were the odd toys, you know, here's another fish or whatever, but the ones he cared about would often take years and would just be like life experiences for Norval himself. Once he began to understand that these are this archetype, this is this legend, these are these people in my life, then he would get more involved in the work itself.
Talk a little bit about, I mean, Norval passed away last December, and since then there's been, it's been phrased various ways, or let's call them, for lack of a better word, the Morisot Wars. Can you talk about what that is and what's been happening since he passed away?
Yeah, to some it was a sad comedy of errors, his passing away last December, how it was treated, how it was mishandled. There was a fight over his actual physical body for a month, so he was kept in a freezer before they finally decided. There were three different parties fighting over where his body was to go, and then they went to the body of his estate. When he received posthumously the Aboriginal Achievement Award, nobody could accept it for him because the estates were fighting. As far as I know, that's still up in the air, you know. Shows his great value.
Let's talk about your exhibition. Let's talk about your spirit. This is a giant. The six panel, the 17-foot six panel. Can you talk a little bit about that? That what you're showing at the Scholar Gallery.
It's a piece that I believe carries many messages. The main one being that Norval is a grand shaman, embodying, as I mentioned earlier, the spirit of his people. And for me, the vision that came to me was similar to a pharaoh in Egypt mythology, or a Viking, the grand canoe carrying off the majestic one to his new adventure, you know. But within this are many little stories of moments painting with him over the years, and really it's all about the joy of it. So this is not a sad, death picture. This is a picture of power and beauty and simplicity. It's large. It's six panels, but I plan to take it and display it in schools. And I do have groups coming in at some point, or I will be bringing it to schools to pass on these messages about Norval and the ability of each of these young people, even if they're our age, to be able to create their own life.
What's happening with the Woodland School and with the Thunderbird School of Shamanistic Art?
Well, interestingly enough, Morisot should be going through the roof right now, and the Woodland School should be garnering more interest than ever. There's a general paralysis to the market while these estate issues are up in the air. Of course, the artists, like my proteges, like Brian and myself, are painting as we ever have, and having shows. But Norval's work is the market is saturated, but he's a world-class artist. And I expect that the international community is going to become more aware of him in the near future. And the small market of Canada, where there are so many woodland pieces and so many morisos, will find its way into that international market in a more profound way. And we're going to see some real action here in Canada.
In the meantime, you're going to continue carrying on with that embodiment of the message that Morisot was, or the person that Morisot was, in terms of the way you're painting, and how much of that is you, and how much of that is Norval? I mean, do you feel Norval with you when you're painting these pieces?
That's an interesting question. I find at times when I'm painting, I breathe like him, I move like him. You know, for years I mixed his paints and I stretched his canvases and put them away, and in some way I just fall right into that feeling of how it was when we painted 30 years ago, when I paint today. So is he there in spirit? No doubt. You know, I've always been a fanatic artist, so I believe the reason I met Norval is because I was meant to, not because of his greatness, but because of our mutual greatness. And Norval believed that we were all great. And so really Norval's message is that the spirit of creativity, the great spirit, is everybody's natural birthright. And his idea is that it's been taken away by the powers that be. So, you know, what's the goal of the Thunderbird School? To give it back.
Richie Sinclair is a protégé of Norval Morisot, and carries on his spirit and his work. His exhibition, Spirit, is at the Scollard Street Gallery. That's located at 112 Scollard Street in Yorkville. And it's there till...
This weekend will be the last night. I'll be there for the Yorkville Art Walk on Thursday night, 6 to 8 p.m. And on Nuit Blanche for the whole evening, I'll be there talking about the work. So if anyone gets a chance to come down to the gallery. I'd like to mention, too, that... Norval's authentic original dealers on Yorkville are having a Morisot show at the same weekend. So it's a real woodland art weekend if you can get to Yorkville this
and
weekend.
If you've ever seen a Morisot, you know, up close and in person, it's stunning. I mean, I don't know, it's so vivid, and the colors, and it just leaps off the canvas. Stop by and see Richie Sinclair as well. Richie, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, David.
And for more information, you go to our website as well, www.take5.fm. Every once in a while, we get to speak to somebody who has a profound impact on me and on the show. And Richie Sinclair was one of those people. I encourage everybody who hasn't seen any of Norval Morisot's work or any of Richie Sinclair's work to head down to the Scollard Street Gallery and to the Art Walk this weekend in Yorkville and check that out.